This is All of It. I'm Kusha Navadar in for Allison Stewart. And folks, the celebration of Nowruz, which is the Persian New Year, will be held tomorrow. So happy New Year, everyone. Nowruz Mubarak. When we think of most Western New Year's customs, they include the countdown to midnight. But Nowruz takes place at a very particular time in the middle of the day, the time when the sun crosses the celestial equator. That'll be 11:06 tomorrow. And that's just one of the many ways that the Persian New Year, which is descended from the Zoroastrian traditions of pre-Islamic Iran, is a celebration of nature. Fire plays an important role in the celebrations. So does water and sweet, nourishing natural foods. Plus, it makes some sense to start the year at the beginning of spring's blooms instead of in the middle of winter, right? And listeners, we want to hear all about your Nowruz traditions, your reflections, your memories. Give us a call or text us at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Which parts of the Nowruz celebration make you feel connected to nature or to your Persian culture? Do you remember your childhood Nowruz traditions? How have you tried to carry them forward? What's your favorite Nowruz dish? Or anything else you'd like to share about your Persian New Year celebrations? Call us, text us, 212-433-9692. And joining us to help take those calls, please welcome Nassim Alekhani, the founder and owner of Sofre, a Persian restaurant in Brooklyn, and author of a cookbook also called Sofre. Hi, Nassim.
Hi, salam Kusha. How are you?
Salam.
And happy Nowruz.
Nowruz. Happy New Year to you too. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So to get us started, when you think of Nowruz, Nassim, what memories do you think of?
Oh, my God. First of all, new shoes and new clothes. That's the first thing. The kid just jumps right at me. To this day, I try to wear definitely something new. This was the highlight. One year I slept with my shoes, my brand new white shoes, under my pillow. So that was the first thing that jumps at in my mind. But there is so much more, like setting up, have seen my mother cleaning up, like, I mean, all of us helping her. And everybody's hanging and we are doing deep cleaning Wednesday before. There's just this massive bonfire. It's just, Nowruz is almost the whole month of stuff, and not necessarily buying anything except the shoes, which was a big deal for me and it still is to this day. Except that, it's just all about deep spring cleaning, being with the family, making little cookies with your hand, and growing your sabze. Sabze is the wheatgrass or lentil or any kind of legumes that it can be sprouted, and then just watch it, nurture it until the day comes. And when the day comes, which could be sometimes 3 a.m., you all wake up. It could be like any time, because it's just an equinox when the world turns, and we all had to be up around. My mother was always up, had prepared a beautiful hafsin, which was a spread sofre hafsin. That's why it's one of the reasons I called sofre, is actually because of that. Sofre hafsin was a huge tradition in my house growing up, and almost in every home that I went to, from grandparents to aunts and uncles and neighbors. My mother would wake us up regardless of the time, regardless of what was happening. We had to be around the hafsin together, looking in the mirror, lighting the candle, and wait for the moment. And the moment was announced by a huge serenade and drumming sound on the radio. Back then there was no TV, and we would all just jump and kiss one another. And then as kids, we were looking for money, because every adult would give us a little bit of symbolic money, and we all had a little booklet. So that was New Year for me. It's just the most joyous time of the year.
It sounds like so many beautiful memories. I got to ask, what color were the shoes?
White.
White shoes. Is that a Nowruz thing, white, or is that more just the idea of gifts? You just like white shoes.
White shoes. There was one shop that it was way out of our budget, but I saw that shoe, and for months I was like crying my heart out, and my mother surprised me by buying that for me. And it was kind of a grown-up shoes, but she was telling me, you're a kid, why would you want like heels? And anyway, it was a white shoe.
That's really special. And, you know, you mentioned that it goes on for almost an entire month. So Nowruz is officially tomorrow, but the new year is more of a festival season that lasts weeks before and weeks after. Can you tell us how Persians around the world have already been celebrating the new year?
Oh, thanks to Instagram. I can't have enough. I'm not an Instagram person, but because of all these amazing clips from all over Iran, and not just Iran, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Afghanistan, many, many, and Parsi-speaking communities in India, so many people celebrate, and Zoroastrian communities around the world, so many are celebrating this tradition. And because of the Instagram, I am discovering so many traditions that I had no idea. And aside from, I knew about like deep cleaning, making our sabze, or visiting our entire family, or making a special sweet, eat a special food. But this morning, just this morning, I saw a little clip from a town, not that maybe a back then was a small village, not too far from my where I grew up. I grew up in Isfahan, about an hour and a half from Isfahan, that all the girls in the village who are not married, they all wear beautiful ornamental red outfit, and they walk on a stream, and they to the source of the stream, and they drink that water in welcoming the new year. And I just, my heart melted from
I love that. And, you know, it invokes the idea of nature. And a lot of these traditions are rooted in Zoroastrianism, which is a Persian religion with pre-Islamic roots. Do you have a sense of how these traditions have endured through all the political and cultural changes that Iran has gone through over the years? Because it feels like it is a celebration of nature first.
You know, revolution happened, of course. The very first thing was banned, what happened to the woman. Like, we all had to suddenly, overnight, suddenly fully cover our head to toe. Many things changed, so many things. Our lives were uprooted. The only thing that it was not, nobody was able, even during that horrible 8 years of war, nobody was able to take away that tradition of Nowruz. Every home quietly celebrated it. At some point for the first few years of revolution, music was banned. So this serenade of music, this specific sound, was not being broadcasted from radio the first few years. And then people were drumming their own sound on the rooftop. So it's been, I think Nowruz and many of the Zoroastrian traditions have endured not just recent revolution, thousands of years of occupation. And I think Iranians and Parsi people, they just hold on to it and with their dear life and celebrating it to this day. Kurdistan, they do a night before, the night before, like I think tonight, the entire town, thousands of people, they gather a cloth. Basically, they dip it in oil and they set fire and wait for the night to become dark. And they create a moving light carnival from the bottom of the mountain to the top of the mountain. This has been happening for more than 3,000 years of tradition.
And how about for you? I mean, you run Sofre. You're a chef and restaurateur. Is your restaurant doing anything special for this holiday?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We always do. We make a really big deal of Nowruz. Last year, we had 3 days event. The year before, we had 4 days event. It also depends on where it falls. Like this year falls very awkwardly right in the middle. But I always said, have seen, always. So when our guests come starting tomorrow, they will see a beautiful spread that has all that seven scenes, plus lots of plants and flowers. I put all the blossoms and tulips and sombol. Sombol is hyacinth. Is one of the elements that we use in Sofre. And because I put too many of it, you cannot smell our beautiful dishes, but then instead you smell hyacinth as guests would enter. Yes, I always set a very nice, I think it's very nice.
I'm sure it's beautiful. Can you go into what that table is? You've said have seen a couple times for listeners who might not know. You also mentioned seven S's. What is that all about?
I put a lot more than seven S's, but the most traditional one is seep, apple, sirke, vinegar. Sabze is that green thing that we grow, sprouted of either lentil or wheat. Senjed, unfortunately, I should have Googled, but I don't know what senjed is in English. And garlic and gold, sirke. But I also put rice. Rice in my family must be there. And then we put all the family coins, the old coins. And we always have, in traditional Iran, there was a lot of goldfish, and it still is. You would see right now, if you Google images of Nowruz shopping, you see massive tanks of tiny little goldfish. I personally have a hard time getting that tiny little fish and then not to know what to do with it, and they suffer in a bowl. So for years, my family, we switched, instead of goldfish, we switched to orange, and that is also a symbol of prosperity. So, and then ton of flowers, hyacinth is another S. And yeah, that's it. Sometimes I switch the vinegar with wine, not for any reason except vinegar has a very strong smell, which actually there is all these seven S's, they all have reasons. Like sabze means rebirth. Vinegar means also, vinegar is a fruit of grapes, and grapes are heavenly fruits. And then grapes turn to vinegar. And vinegar is not only a disinfectant, but is also a symbol of ever-changing things in nature change. And all of this, like seer, garlic, is purifying, is cleansing. Fish is, again, prosperity. So all of this have different symbolism, and different parts of Iran, they interpret it differently, but more or less everybody puts those seven S's plus more on their table.
I hear nature, I hear rejuvenation and cleansing and a connection to the environment around you, which is beautiful. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Nasim Alekhani, who is owner and chef at Sofre, which is a Persian restaurant in Brooklyn. She's author of the cookbook Sofre, A Contemporary Approach to Classic Persian Cuisine. And we are talking about Nowruz, which is officially tomorrow. The celebrations have been happening around the world for the past few weeks, and they'll continue on after. And we want to hear, listeners, about your own connection to Nowruz. Do you have specific memories, specific celebrations that you enjoy? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And Nasim, right now, I'd love to introduce somebody else from the New York City community who is helping to celebrate Persian New Year and Persian culture. I am joined by Malad Ahmadi, who is one of the organizers behind a new Persian youth organization called Rangarang New York City. Malad, welcome.
Hello, everyone. Salam. It's so lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So you got the name Rangarang from an Iranian variety show from the 70s. Can you tell us why that name and that era, why it feels like it's the kind of thing you want to create a modern Persian community around?
Yes. So Rangarang, Rangarang in Farsi, meaning colorful and full of color, is, like you said, I got the name from that show, but it is just a word in Farsi. I was very inspired by this particular show, just because I was listening to your conversations with Nasim Jun, and she was mentioning how she sees a lot of clips on Instagram where that show traditions and things that some of us maybe didn't even know existed. And I see this a lot in our community, because our history, I mean, they've been, you know, since the revolution, they've tried to rewrite a lot of things. And when I was doing my own research, I'm always trying to find how our culture was before this revolution, and how colorful it was, and how joyful it was. And when I stumbled upon this show and clips from this show, I saw nothing but that, nothing but color, nothing but music and dance and our historic traditions being celebrated as opposed to being replaced with other things. I was extremely inspired by that, and I was thinking of ways to bring this back, to share my findings with other people that may have not seen this before as well.
And how are you celebrating through your organization this year?
So we have just started Rangarang, and this is going to be a nightlife event, essentially. We're throwing parties inspired by this show. So we just had our recent party, which wasn't necessarily, it wasn't centered around Nowruz, but it was leading up to Nowruz. You know, we were getting into spring, so we definitely wanted to kind of introduce the new season with that. But we hope to do another one very soon. And it's really about bringing people together, listening to nostalgic music that we all have memories with. A lot of us aren't with our families, myself included. So this year for me is the first year where I've really found my community. And that's the only way I've been able to host these Rangarang events, because I myself have only just discovered my Persian community here. And with events like this, we're really able to come together, many of us that aren't with our families at the moment, and we can pretend, we can find family within each other, and, you know, share stories and all these kinds of things.
Nasim, how does it feel to hear Milad talk about not being able to find community, but then building it themselves, and being somebody who's been in New York City for a while and actually helping build up that community as well? Do you see that coming to a head now, coming to an inflection point, I guess?
Definitely. The show that Milad is talking, Salam Milad, we didn't say hello to one another. The show he's talking about, I grew up as a teenager with it. And I play many of those songs all the time at Sofre. And I have the posters of those times in my bathroom at Sofre. One of the main reason I dreamt about Sofre and this restaurant was just this need almost to find a community. When I came here 40 years ago, there were very few Iranians. I was hardly ever even speaking Farsi. And I just like felt so lonely, and it wasn't enough. There were few friends, but we needed Persians. We love parties. We love get together. We love hanging out. We love serving and being served. And that became for me Sofre. I had to do this. It took me really a long time because life happens. But from the moment I opened this to be kind of a place for me, most importantly, to practice my culture, my identity, the music I like to hear, but also gather people I would love to see. But surprisingly, that happened, as well as introducing our cuisine, our food, to a much wider audience. And, you know, I'm just celebrating all of it together. That's why I think, but right now, especially in the recent maybe year or two, as our second generation kids are growing up, including my kids, I have two 29-year-olds. They are craving, like Milad and like all of the other Iranians, to have their own community and find their own identity. And I'm so glad that all kinds of initiatives are popping up from all over the city and all over the country.
Let's go to some calls now. We're talking about intergenerational. Let's spread it out geographically a little bit. We're joined by Pam in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Pam. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for letting me speak. I'll bet you'd be surprised to know that Phoenix, Arizona, in 2022, adopted Nowruz as an official holiday.
Oh.
And
oh, wow.
This was our third year of Nowruz celebrations, which were held on the Saturday night. And of course, the largest number of people always the Iranian community. But Nowruz was adopted in 2022, led by our councilwoman Yasemin Ansari in Phoenix, specifically to provide support for refugees who are arriving from Afghanistan as well. So we have Tajik community, Iranian community, a lot of Hazara ethnic group from Afghanistan, Mongolians, Indians, so many people here celebrating Nowruz.
Wow. Pam, thank you so much for that. We got to move on to other callers, but I just want to say thank you so much for all that Phoenix is doing. Shout out to Phoenix for doing that and for telling us about all of the ways that different cultures are coming together to celebrate this very intercultural celebration. We've also got Moj in Brooklyn. Hi, Moj. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Hi there. Yes, this is Mojde. Salam Nasim Jan.
Salam.
Thanks for taking my call and happy Nowruz to all. I wanted to just say that I can't think of a better guest for this segment. Nasim, and through her restaurant, Sofra, has done so much for the Persian community. And they definitely know how to party on Nowruz, so I'm looking forward to that. But one of the greatest traditions, I think, during this holiday is reading the poetry of Hafez, the 14th century Persian poet. It's kind of a tradition where you pose a question and open up, you know, his book of poetry to a random page. And the idea is that he'll answer the question that you hold in your heart. So if we're lucky enough to have a family member, an elder, anyone that can understand the amazing works of Hafez, it's a really beautiful tradition of ours during this holiday.
Mojde, thank you so much for that. We really appreciate your call and for bringing up Hafez. Poetry is a core part of Persian culture. We have a text in the scene that I want to put out there for folks. Thank you so much for listeners for asking and for calling in. Wonderful to have everyone part of the conversation. The text reads, is Nowruz related to Purim? And Nasim, it's two different cultures there, right? Is there any relationship?
I don't know. What is Purim? What is that?
So Purim is a celebration on the evening of Saturday, March 23rd to March 24th. It is a Jewish holiday that celebrates the saving of the Jewish people from annihilation at the hands of the Achaemenid Empire. So I can cover this one. There are Persian Jews. There are many different wonderful celebrations. Nowruz is Zoroastrian, so it is slightly similar regions but unrelated. But thank you so much, listener, for asking us that question and seeing it. Nasim, what is your favorite current tradition of Nowruz that you might not have done in the past? Anything new that you're up to with it?
Current? No, but one thing I tried, nothing new. It's, you know, I've always feel the same way I treat my food too here. Some things are so amazing and they developed over centuries. I think I like to leave them alone and not to insert my creativity in there. And I like to leave Nowruz. We pretty much, we serve the similar dish almost every year. We just add, tweak something. But one thing that I always truly celebrate, making the Persian, the Nowruz little cookies.
Oh, that's wonderful. We'll have to pause that there. Thank you so much. I've been speaking with Nasim Alekhani and Milad Ahmadi about Nowruz. And listeners, thank you so much for being a part of that conversation. And coming up, we are going to have more All of It on the Way right after this.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.